I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad.
What if what we call public opinion was just a manufactured narrative that makes it easier to convince people that if their views are different, then there's something wrong with that, or there's something wrong with them?
There are over 550 million firearms in worldwide circulation. That's one firearm for every 12 people on the planet. The only question is, how do we arm the other 11?
Please shut down the system.
And now for Newsreel, these are your hosts, Maltos and Gatekeeper.
It is a good day.
Today is Thursday, the 30th of January. This is Gatekeeper.
And this is Maltos Kincaid.
For Newsreel, giving you the news you need to survive.
This is a free podcast brought to you by Rant Media.
Newsreel is taking a stand for free speech and against corporate political tyranny. And just by tuning in, so are you. And if you'd like to read along and check our facts, you can do so on our blog, Giant Toads, all one word, .blogspot.ca. So,
well, as much as that introduction sucked.
Well, yeah, but, you know, that's going to be
our first time.
That's going to be our best take. And we're just going to roll with that.
So, that's right. That's how we do it.
Yeah. How was your day, Maltos?
Well, it was pretty good. You know, warm as hell, as usual, because I live in a tropical country. Yeah,
I, on the other hand, am living in Kingston, and this place is seriously experiencing Ragnarok right now. I'm expecting frost giants next week.
Oh, lucky bastard.
Yeah.
I missed a cold.
The 401, the main highway that runs from, like, Quebec to everywhere else in Ontario, that really matters.
That would be to Detroit, by the way.
Yeah, to Detroit. the 401 is just a fucking mess up here. Like, they...
than usual?
Yeah, more than usual. Because
it's usually pretty fucked up, so...
They got a new contractor, right? And this contractor just does not have any plows. We're experiencing, like, the worst winter in years, and we don't have any plows.
Yeah, it's a failure to plan, if you ask me.
Yeah, no kidding. They were not paying any fucking attention.
Wow, and how many millions of dollars they got this year?
Who knows? But that would imply we're rich.
true that.
Anyhow, this will be the part of the show where we do the sort yourself out. Unfortunately, this is episode zero, so there are no sort yourselves out. But just keep in mind, you can email us any kind of questions, concerns, comments that you might have. And if you want to keep it anonymous, you can, but put your name in it so that we can call you by your online name instead of your real name.
Conversely, also at the same time, not to cut you off, but conversely, you can also just sort yourself out yourself too, right? So,
well, they totally could, yeah.
That's right. So you guys do that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I was thinking, since we don't have any sort yourselves out, we can tell you a little bit about ourselves. What do you think?
Are you asking me or are you asking them?
Oh, I'm asking you.
Oh, you're asking me? Well, okay. Just making sure. I think that's good. You start.
All right. Well, I am Gatekeeper, formerly known as Virace on the forums. I changed that just recently. I think Sim put in, like, a new update that lets you change your name, but not your actual username. Anyways,
nice.
Yeah, I did the Tales from the After Now, the Storm series, which after all these years, I'm actually picking it back up again, this time for real, and I'm going to try and finish that.
It's about time.
Yeah. I'm really sorry about that, but... I actually am. I feel really guilty. I mean, Epix was always writing me. He's always like, oh man, I need my fix. I need my After Now fix. And I'm like, dude, I'm working on it. I'm trying my best, but no. It just happened.
Epix goes into withdrawal. They're like, ah, man, where is it?
Tapping his vein.
Where is it?
Yeah. you're probably wondering who the fuck we are and what gives us the right. Well, I'll tell you what gives me the right. I contacted Sean Candy a long time ago because I had this crazy idea that I would like to do Newsreel. And, he said, yeah, go for it. And I was like, oh, well, you know, should I call it Newsreel? Should I call it something else? He's like, yeah, call it Newsreel and, you know, be proud. I would. And I was like, okay, that's really cool. All this took place on Facebook, by the way. And then I didn't do anything with it. I had permission from the fucking man himself, and I didn't do anything with it. And then
apathetic man.
That's totally what I was, and I think that should be the new theme for like 2014 for me, for the Wogs, for everybody. We should probably not be apathetic anymore. We should probably like actually start giving a fuck. Anyhow,
wait. Otherwise known as get the fuck off your ass.
Yeah,
asses, plural asses. Sorry,
all of them. All of your asses, get off of them. So along comes the spider.
Please don't shoot us. Please don't shoot.
Along comes the spider, and Maltos just kind of comes out of the blue and says, "Hey, I'm thinking of doing a newsreel show." I'm like, "Oh, really?
Yeah, that's funny, right, man. I am."
So, and that's what leads us to this point. Yeah, go ahead, Maltos. Tell them about yourself.
Oh, myself. Well, I'm Maltos. That's surprising. Maltos Kincaid in Second Life. I don't really know what there is to tell about me. I live in Costa Rica because I've been married and I've been living down here since 8-9 months ago. It's always warm. And yeah, boom. Nice. There you go. Oh, wait. I guess we should talk about how we met.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, we met through Rant Media. We were doing those WOG meetups that everybody thought were really cool at the time, and just so happens that Maltos and I were living in roughly the same area. You were in Belleville, right?
Yeah, I was in Belleville. I was in Belleville. You were in Kingston.
And Anarchs was in Ottawa.
Ottawa. He was in Ottawa. So we formed a magical group called
Southern Ontario WOGs.
WOGs. And that lasted for what? About 4 meets, and then
4 meets, maximum.
Yeah. And I think 3 of them were with you, because we didn't know you the first meet.
Yep.
Just me and Anarchs.
Yep, that's right.
The last one, we all went to go see Tron.
That was sweet. That was Tron Legacy, sweet, by the way, not yeah. Tron from the 1980s.
Oh, yeah. We're not that old. Well,
We definitely do not have a time machine, no matter what you think.
Not yet.
Soon enough, my friend. Soon enough. Once we get that Nike missile base, oh, man. There's going to be some strange shit going on down there. Black Mesa style shit. So, I say it's time we get into the news.
Indeed.
So, in police state news, this one comes from the New York Times and was submitted by myself. So,
like most of the stories this time around.
Yes.
Because we don't have a listener base right now.
Well, yeah, exactly. I have a lot of spare time during lunch, so. So, in Kiev, Ukraine, yes, you've probably all heard of this by now, but we're going to beat this dead horse because it's worth it. So, as demonstrators in ski masks scuffled with the police here on Tuesday evening, opposition leaders accused the government of provoking the very violence it has been condemning in an effort to discredit and possibly split the protest movement. The government tried to marginalize the protest, hoping that after 60 days in the cold, people would become tired and leave, and only a different contingent would remain, only bums. But this did not work, said Yuri, Sirotyuk, a deputy head of the Nationalist Svoboda Party and a member of parliament. Now, that's
Svoboda.
Kind of
Svoboda.
Svoboda. Yes, my old was Second Life.
Old?
Yeah. My old Second Life handle was Xander Svoboda. That's interesting. I don't remember weird. Giving these people permission to use my name, but
a DMCA lawsuit.
Yeah, is this not sounding a little familiar, like the Black Bloc tactics that were used in Montreal in the G20 summit?
And Vancouver?
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, man. Anyways, the government then decided to provoke a conflict, so some radical element would respond, he added. They wanted a schism. They are following the Roman principle of divide and conquer. This is their plan, but it will not work. Opposition leaders say the government of President Viktor F. Yanukovych has also rebuffed all offers of negotiations, adding fuel to a volatile situation. Few days are left, or maybe even hours, when solving the political process is possible through negotiations, said Arseniy Yatsenyuk, a leader of the opposition Fatherland Party. How evil does that sound, the opposition Fatherland Party?
Welcome to the Fatherland!
You know, it sounds very, very menacing, very powerful, but I bet it really isn't. So...
they do have shields and stuff, right? So, hey.
Well, do they?
Maybe that's not there. Anyway, somebody there has shields. I'm looking at the pictures.
Yeah, that's right. There's people overturning a bus. They're smashing windows out. Oh, my Anyways, so moving on. This should be done while people are still willing to listen to politicians and accept the path to political resolution of the crisis. The government's opponents said three recent actions had been intended to incite the more radical protesters and sow doubt in the minds of moderates. The passing of laws last week circumcising the right of public assembly, the blocking of a protest march past the parliament building on Sunday, and the sending of cell phone messages, get this, cell phone messages, on Tuesday to people standing in the vicinity of the fighting that said, "Dear subscriber, you are registered as a participant in a mass disturbance." Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, that was the thing that really screamed at me for this. It's like,
oh my god.
Seriously? So like, you could be like, how would they pick that up? They go off the cell phone tower, like, oh, this guy's within range. So oh, boom.
Yeah.
But I mean, you might be a businessman or whoever, minding their own business somewhere. You know, three or four blocks away.
In the middle of a revolution.
During the middle of a... Yeah, but I mean, like, not in the... They have a map on here, don't they? And it shows, like, it's just, like, the one street and a few other side streets. You could be, like, somewhere at the very edge of that cell tower's range.
Yeah,
and you get a message saying,
"Dear
subscriber, hell?
You are registered as a participant in a mass disturbance."
You're sitting there working at the 7-Eleven or something like that. It's like, oh, crap, I should maybe quit my minimum wage job because it's a mass disturbance now.
Oh, well, you know what? Maybe that'll just encourage the poor slave wage workers who are just innocent bystanders. They send out this text message and all of a sudden they go, oh, fuck, I'm registered as a mass disturber.
Might as well do something about it.
Yeah, I'm going to jail. I might as well start flipping buses.
Yeah, let's break some shit. Torch some stuff.
Like, this totally reminds me of, like, Half-Life 2, where it's like, you know, it's like, it's fucking Combine right there. That screams cyberpunk. Like, wake the fuck up. We're in a cyberpunk dystopia. It's terrifying.
You are part of a mass disturbance.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, thank you. That also brings up another point, though. It's like, maybe people, when they go into these things, yeah, it's awesome that they want to go and fight for whatever, because whatever the hell the reason is here. I can't remember what it was. Yeah. Something about the EU. But at the same time, maybe you should, like, you know, turn the cell phone off. Maybe remove the battery. Leave it at home. You know, break it at least or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so that they can't send you this stuff. So they can't track, what is it, the demographic, get the demographic data of who's actually in the fight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Cover your face.
Yeah.
Hide your cell phone.
Don't wear your gloves.
Technology with you. Wear your gloves. Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you do things right, they can't even glean fucking DNA evidence out of it.
Yeah.
Not that they would, because this is a fucking riot. You don't... There would be so much DNA, nothing would make sense. There's nothing you could hold up in a court of law. Although, let's face it, their government in Kiev doesn't look like it wants to have a law system.
Well, not necessarily, because, I mean, like, look, they just... took out their right of public assembly last week.
Yep, they took that away. That's the first
to go. The protest marching capability away, or whatever, away from them, which is part of the public assembly thing, really. So it's like,
absolutely,
really? Police state again, much?
Yeah, no kidding. Although, let's be fair, like, in countries in the Ukraine, in the Ukraine, not countries like the Ukraine, that the things like this are nothing new. It's always been kind of oppressive over there, but I don't know, maybe they're starting to get the idea that maybe living under the thumb of the man isn't such a good idea. I don't know.
That's exactly what's happening here, I think, because, I mean, you got, what, Syria, Egypt,
right,
etc., all this stuff in the last, what, two or three years or so.
But then, you know, here...
Just clusters and clusters and clusters of countries just come up and say, hey, you know, government, we don't really give a damn. We're just gonna... You know, boom, which makes sense. I mean, hell, they should do that in the States.
Yeah, well,
really.
Yeah. I'm starting to wonder if just the North American governments are better at keeping us docile than the others, or that people just really don't give a shit over here. And, you know, oh, you can step on my rights. That's cool, as long as I get my Xbox. As long as I get my pills. Fuck.
It's all apathy, man.
Exactly, and that's going to be the theme of this show for a while, I think.
Yeah, I have a feeling it is too. It's just because it's just constantly and constantly fed to you. You got the media, you got the TV shows,
mm-hmm.
all that crap. I mean,
Game of Thrones is going to keep me docile for at least a few weeks.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't remember what the hell we're watching. Me and my wife were watching the other day. Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm married. And,
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I already said that. Okay, you can cut that part out later on. my mind slipping again in my old age. No, I was
the ripe old age of 20 something.
29, man.
29. Oh,
I'm getting up there. I was just jumping a revolution and get myself killed. I'm getting near the end of my usefulness here. God, where was I going with that?
No,
we're watching something. We're watching something. I can't remember what the hell it was, but I mean, you could just see that the way that the characters act on TV or in the movies and whatnot. I mean, people, whether they want to or not, people mimic what other people do, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So they see something like, oh, that's cool, it's on TV, or that's cool, like my idol in real life is doing that, so why don't I do that? I mean, people pattern themselves after what they see. Not all the time, but quite often.
Explains all those fucking mob cuts that those Justin Bieber fans wear.
Yep. That's one of the things there, and that should be outlawed. but I mean, the people pick up stuff like that, right? I mean, I'm guaranteed I'm not immune to it or anything like that. I don't think any of us are, really. Maybe to some degree.
Who are we imitating right now? We're imitating Sean Kennedy.
Oh, hell yeah. Sean Kennedy and the others that came after him, too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Anybody else in our lives that we figure were good, mentors or idols, really? But that's the thing, that people will pick up stuff, and if it's stupid stuff, they're like, oh, this guy on TV did it, so maybe subconsciously they're like, I'm gonna do it too, and they just integrate it into their lives, and it spins out from there, and that's where we have the way people are today.
Yeah, it's not a everyone. Personality smorgasbord. Anyhow, yeah. I'm going to finish off the article here.
Do it.
So, Russia's foreign minister, Sergei V. Lavrov. Oh, wow, Sergei. That's an awesome name.
Wow, that's a kinky name there. Sergei.
I might be pronouncing it wrong, but anyhow, Sergei V. Lavrov blamed politicians from the European Union and the United States for encouraging the fighting over the past 3 days. Wow. The situation in the city, he warned, was getting out of control. It seems someone is interested in this chaos, Mr. Lavrov said. I wonder. Tuesday at a news conference in Moscow. He noted that American diplomats had said in December at a meeting of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe that the Ukrainian government should heed the opinion of the population and seek greater integration with Europe or risk instability. What was this? Prophecy or a prediction? He said. The European Union issued no official response to Mr. Lavrov, but its officials say it has never condoned or encouraged violence, as Mr. Lavrov seemed to suggest it had done by having an official mingle with the protesters when they first turned out 2 months ago. So this has been going on for 2 months.
Yeah, what was it, October or November or something like that? I think.
Jeez, and we didn't hear anything
much
about
it until just the last few weeks.
Now, isn't that funny? Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
It's first of all delayed, and second of all not even broadcast on regular television. Although I don't even know that because I don't watch TV. But
same here. But I think there were some things. But I mean, again, not until later on.
Mm-hmm.
Just again in the last month or so. It's kind of like the thing with, I was reading the other day, the night of the Grammys or whatever the heck awards they were, two or three nights ago or whatever. Well, the U.S. bombed Syria.
Are you fucking kidding me?
But you never heard anything about it.
I didn't hear anything about that.
Yeah, because, well, let's distract the masses.
Of course.
Let's distract people, like,
give them circus, give them bread.
That's right.
Wow. So, at a meeting in Brussels on Monday, European foreign ministers released a final statement on Ukraine, saying that the EU remains committed to Ukraine's political association and economic integration with Europe as soon as Ukraine is ready. And this is that map that you had brought up earlier. So, protest leaders said the authorities seem to be giving the more radical protesters free rein while going out of their way to frighten more moderate ones, particularly with the threatening text messages sent on Tuesday. All right, so...
I will kill you! Through your phone.
Oh my god.
From Skynet.
Well, at least we have Skynet's number now, so we can call them for tech support. The phrasing of the message about participating in a mass disturbance echoed language in a new law making it a crime to participate in a protest deemed violent. The law took effect on Tuesday, and protesters were concerned with the government seemed to be using cutting-edge technology from the advertising industry to pinpoint people for political profiling.
Which is not really cutting-edge, it's just a GPS and a phone being picked up by a cell tower. Well, I guess it kind of is cutting edge, but, you know.
Yeah, I guess cutting edge to what standard? Like, 1940s? 1950s? Yeah. So, three cell phone companies in Ukraine, Kyivstar, NTS, and Life. Oh, Life. I work at Life. Do you work at Life?
No, but I eat Life.
That's a good cereal. They have that in Costa Rica?
No. Actually, yeah, you can buy a lot of American stuff here.
No shit. Okay. Yeah. Sweet.
Of course, most of it tastes like shit, though, too, right? So.
Well, yeah, no kidding. Yeah. So anyways, denied that they had provided the location data to the government, or, well, of course they denied it. They're not going to say, oh, yeah, we just completely violated all of your rights.
There goes all your subscriber base right there.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Everybody would switch over the next day. Well, I mean, after paying the $500 cancellation fee, which, well, I'm not sure if that's everywhere, but that's definitely here in Canada.
Yeah.
Okay, to data to the government, or had sent the text messages. The newspaper Ukrainskaya Pravda reported, Kyivstar suggested that it was instead the work of a pirate cell phone tower set up in the area. The messages appear to have little effect. 3 hours after they were sent, riot police officers pushed past barricades of burned buses at that site, and were met by a crowd of protesters in ski masks and bicycle helmets, carrying sticks and ready to fight. They were carrying sticks.
I think that actually went bad for a few of those cops. I think I saw a GIF a few days ago.
Okay.
Somewhere on the internet, GIF or GIF, whatever the hell those things are called, and somebody modified the sticks or whatever with lightsabers, so it was kind of interesting to see.
Of course.
So I don't know if this is the same conflict or not, but they took out a few cops.
Wow, proving that even if you have riot armor, the good old-fashioned clubs beat that. That's
amazing.
Yeah,
man, it's blunt force trauma. That stuff transfers right through your armor.
That makes sense. That's exactly why maces were used in medieval times.
Yep.
You know, you're wearing this big suit of metallic armor and... Metallic. It's just metal. Anyways, you're wearing this big suit of metal armor, and sure, you know, you don't get cut, you don't get slashed easily, but you bang them with a mace, that's gonna, first of all, confuse them, because it's gonna ring in their ears, and second of all, it breaks bones.
Yep.
Crushes muscle. Alright. So, the police fired plastic bullets and threw stun grenades. They pressed as far as a cobblestone-throwing catapult built by protesters the day before and dismantled it before retreating. My god!
That's freaking badass right
that's
there.
Ukrainian engineering is like nothing else. These guys get my award for most badass protesters.
Imagine being out there, being a riot cop, all done up in the riot gear with the shields, and all of a sudden having a big friggin'... How much does a cobblestone weigh? Probably at least 10 pounds. And a big friggin' fist-sized chunk of rock come flying at your face.
Oh, wow. That would be...
A tear right through your shield.
Yeah, your shield is gone. If you weren't holding it the right way, your helmet's gone and maybe part of your skull.
Yeah.
My god. Nothing beats the old classics, eh?
That's right.
Easy
to make, too.
The opposition leaders... Yeah, the ammo was everywhere. It's in the ground.
It's the street.
Yeah. We'll just move this along, tearing up the street as we go, and it'll be harder for them to move their vehicles in, and we'll also be assaulting them with rocks, which will probably kill a good chunk of them. Or at least maim. So, the opposition leaders, who are members of parliamentary factions, face a difficult choice over whether to embrace or denounce the more radical groups as the demonstrations grow more violent. Well, my advice to you, ministers, is to side with the people who are growing violent, because they are eventually going to overthrow your police force and defeat you.
Plus, so, they are the people too, right? So, I mean, exactly. Go with what the people want.
Yeah, you're supposed to represent your majority instead of representing your own best interests.
That's right.
That's how democracy works. It's a new concept, I know.
Well, that's how it should work anyways.
Yeah, I guess.
How it should and how it does is usually a little bit different these days, I believe.
Ooh, have we ever. So far, the politicians have condemned those fighting with the police as not representing the aspirations of the larger number of peaceful protesters who have gathered in Independence Square since November in support of closer economic integration with the European Union. Some of those fighting the police carry the baseball bats and throwing gasoline bombs, saying they are supporters of the European Free Trade Agreement, whose rejection by Mr. Yanukovych set off the protests. But other groups have also appeared in Kiev, adding to the sense of chaos. Young men carrying sticks wandering side streets near the central square, threatening to beat protesters who walked alone. One group shattered a shop window.
Oh no.
Okay, it's a
one
protest.
One group shattered one window.
My god. That's terrifying.
That's bad. You should go to Vancouver or Toronto.
Only when
you guys got nothing on us.
Whatever happened. I can't remember. What team lost? I don't...
Who cares?
Oh, it wasn't that Olympics? I can't remember. Whatever.
Anyways, it's getting sidetracked.
Yeah. The opposition leaders have said they believe that these people are soccer hooligans and unemployed men busted into Kiev by the government to provide a proxy force to intimidate protesters and darken the image of the movement by highlighting the violence. I don't know. That takes effort. I mean, in order to get soccer hooligans, you have to bust them in from Britain. Right? I mean, that's where the good ones are. You don't want the crappy, not-so-enthusiastic French soccer hooligans. They'll just stand around and smoke.
Yeah.
Say, our team lost again.
Deberneck!
And we just cut out all of our French listeners. That's okay.
It's okay. We don't care.
We don't speak French anyways. So,
yeah, no.
Disorders should not be allowed to happen. Well, I guess that's just bad translating, but I guess disorderly conduct should not be allowed to happen. Vitaly Klitschko, a former boxing champion and the leader of the political party Ukrainian Democratic Alliance for Reform, wrote on Twitter. Twitter is allowed to be evidence now. This is a plan of authorities to introduce a state of emergency. Early Tuesday, opposition activists detained about a dozen of these rival young men and marched them to one of several buildings occupied by protesters, where several admitted to videotaped conversations that they had been promised 200 hryvnia, or about $25, to cause trouble.
Wow, are they, like, homeless?
Yeah.
$25? Because, I mean, like, seriously? I mean, wow.
Well, then again, I mean, they're being offered $25 to smash shit, and they won't get arrested. Well, I guess they did, but...
Yeah, I'd be like, maybe another 100 or 1,000 on there. Maybe.
However many hryvnia that is. To cause trouble. But they were not able to explain clearly who had hired them.
They weren't able to explain clearly, i.e. they didn't tell them who hired them.
Or this newspaper reporter kind of got paid off to say, I just didn't understand them. They were kind of mouthing their words funny.
Yeah, he got paid 200 hryvnia too.
There we go. A civic activist who has been prominent in the movement, Ihor Lutsenko, was missing on Tuesday after men forced him into a car in the parking lot of a hospital, according to a Facebook post by his wife. The protests, which peaked in December, had seemed to be fading, but were re-energized by opposition to the new laws against public assembly. And that's all she wrote.
That is all she wrote.
My goodness. Eh.
Yeah. Anyways, on to the next topic, or the next news story, which is seemingly related as well. Confirmed, protesters in Ukraine kidnapped from hospitals and executed.
This is fucking sick.
Pretty bad. It's been confirmed that protesters are being kidnapped from hospitals and taken into the forest, where they are stripped and executed. This story is also from... it's from you. What the hell's your name again? Gatekeeper. Sorry, changed your name so many times in the last 3 years, I don't know who the hell you are anymore.
It's to keep my identity mysterious.
Of course, but you're broadcasting nationally now, or internationally now, so that's kind of screwed. Ukraine. Yesterday we reported that activists in Ukraine were disappearing from hospitals and that it was possible that there was some connection to people that were found killed and tortured in the forest outside of the city. Today, this connection has been confirmed. with even mainstream media sources reporting that the government is kidnapping activists. Yes, the government is kidnapping activists from hospitals.
That's absurd. Even when mainstream media is reporting this, you know something is going fucking awry. Like,
oh yeah, and chances are the mainstream media is owned by the government too there, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Just like it is most other places.
Yeah, no kidding.
But let's see here. Government kidnapping activists from hospitals, taking them into the woods where they are stripped, tortured, and killed in many cases.
Not just killed, so they're tortured too.
Oh, and stripped.
My God.
So it's winter time there, right? So that's cold.
Of course, yep. I guess that's part of the torture too, huh?
Yep, that would make sense.
My God.
The incident that we reported on yesterday was the death of Yuri Verbitsky, an activist who was found killed and left in the forest. Now a journalist named Igor Lutsenko, that's the same guy from the last story, has come forward saying that he managed to escape from government agents and was one of the people who were tortured and taken to the forest. He had been taken from a hospital in Kiev, beaten, and was eventually left in the forest by his abductors after an ordeal lasting almost a day, AFP reported. Ukrainian news website Zerkalo Dzinya, whatever the heck that is, you can look it up yourself, said two unidentified bodies had been found in the forest outside Kiev, where Lutsenko had been taken after his abduction. And that is from, where the heck is this from? I have no idea what the site is. IntelliHub.com, I guess, is what this is showing up on.
Yeah. This is sick. So not only are people being stripped of their rights, now they're being stripped of their clothes, tortured, and killed in the forest outside of a hospital. A place of healing, I might add.
Indeed.
So, like
that's pretty bad.
Pissing on holy ground is one of those, is up there with this. Like, you don't go to a place of healing, grab people, and take them out back and shoot them like they're dogs.
That's a bit much. I mean, you know, maybe, I mean, the guy's not doing anything. He's sitting in a hospital. He's got his crap beaten out of him, probably, which is why he's there, I'm assuming.
He's probably second thinking ever protesting again, or, you know, leaking any information to anybody. He's learned his lesson. He doesn't want to do it. And you're just going to take him out back and shoot him like a hog.
And the thing is, the guy's completely defenseless, possibly, too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Like,
but you can't just confront the guy, like, and you'd be all, you know, I don't know what to say, a professional about it.
Yeah.
I don't want to say manly about it, but a professional about it. You know, do I want to kill somebody? All right. Go and kill him and have a bit of a challenge at it. You know, don't shoot him.
Take
him while he's injured and shoot him in the back or whatever, right? It's just a bit much.
There's a certain point where you stop. You have to stop and think about the orders that you're carrying out. I'm assuming that it's military that took these guys out and shot them. Because I don't think you could get... Well, you could get a police officer. I'm sure in Kiev they're both synonymous. Police officers and soldiers. I'm sure it's soldiers. And, like, I followed orders too. And I followed orders that I didn't want to follow. But I never followed an order that was like, take this man from a hospital and shoot him out back. He's one of your citizens. He's one of the people you're supposed to protect. Go kill him.
Yeah, that you're supposed to listen to as well, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you represent that person.
Yeah,
in office, and yet at the same time, you're having the SWAT team come in or whatever, whatever the hell it was.
That's kind of the thing. When you're a soldier, you don't really represent the people anymore. You represent the power that those people have elected.
Yeah.
And that power is... Yeah, that's your government.
But that power is supposed to represent the people, though. That's the thing.
It's supposed to, and it doesn't.
It's supposed to. Big quotation marks on that word.
Yeah, there. Exactly. Well, anyhow, I guess we're going to move on to the next story.
Yep.
This one comes from The Guardian, and this one is titled Captagon, the Amphetamine-Fueling Syria's Civil War. This one came from me as well.
Surprise.
Like I told you, lots of time. So the drug widely used in the Middle East, but unknown elsewhere, is keeping fighters on their feet during grueling battles and generating money for more weapons. Well, I guess guerrilla battles too. I mean, this is not an official force, and they do seem to not have that many numbers. But anyways. So, Free Syrian Army army fighters in Aleppo. It's a picture here. This guy looks like he's... it looks like he just picked up the Berserker pack in Doom. He's gonna go fucking nuts. He'll just fucking punch people into Gibbs. He's going to punch you into a blood mist. That's what this drug is doing. This is awesome. Awesome in how terrifying it is, I mean. Many in the conflict are using the drug to keep going. Photograph AFP, getting images. As Syria sinks ever deeper into civil war, evidence is starting to emerge that a brutal and bloody conflict that has left more than 100,000 people dead and displaced, as many as 2 million, is now also being fueled by both the export and consumption of rapidly increasing quantities of illegal drugs. We're not talking acid, we're not talking, you know, BZ compound, we're talking this new drug, what is it, Captagon?
It's a magical amphetamine.
My god. So, separate investigations by the news agency Reuters and Time Magazine have found that the growing trade in Syrian-made Captagon, an amphetamine widely consumed in the Middle East, but almost unknown elsewhere, generated revenues of millions... widely unknown elsewhere. Yeah,
it's definitely unknown elsewhere.
Yeah, for sure. But I say give it, like, you know, 5 years, it'll be on the streets. That's how it always happens. It's... You know, it's going to be the next big thing. People are going to be like, oh man, I can fucking take this. I'm going to get fucking angry, and I'm going to be able to fucking rave all night. It's going to be awesome.
Apparently you can make it for pretty cheap anyways. That's what it says later on in the article.
Right? Oh, no shit. Okay. Yep. All right. I'll get to that point. So, generated... yeah. That's how I want to start this show. Yeah, I love making cheap drugs. I'm getting arrested.
So, you have to change your name again.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I'm running out of names now. Generated revenues of millions of dollars inside the country last year, some of which was almost certainly used to fund weapons, while combatants on both sides were reportedly turning to the stimulant to help them keep fighting.
Yeah, I guess I've never heard of, you know, coffee. Or energy drinks.
There's only so many Ranger coffees that you can take, and I don't think Coca-Cola is over there anymore. So, according to the UN Office on Drugs and Crime, Syria has long been a transit point for drugs coming from Europe, Turkey, and Lebanon, and destined for the wealthy Gulf states. But the breakdown of law and order, collapse of the country's infrastructure, and proliferation of armed groups have now turned it into a major producer. Reuters says productions in Lebanon's Bekaa Valley, a traditional center for the drug, fell 90% last year from 2011, with the decline largely attributed to production inside Syria. Neither investigation found conclusive evidence that the warring sides were using profits from the drug directly to buy weapons, but both quoted experts and officials as saying this was highly likely. Of course it's highly likely. Where are they going to get their money? They're fighting a war. You don't just generate money by killing people. This isn't Call of Duty. or I guess Counter-Strike would also be. Anyways, a former U.S. Treasury official, Matthew Levitt, pointed out that the Iranian-funded Lebanon-based militant group Hezbollah, which is robustly backing Syria's Assad regime, I was about to say Ast, has a long history of dabbling in the drug trade to help with funding. One does not dabble in the drug trade. You're either in it or you're out of it. You're either fucking full-on cartel or...
Or you're not.
Or yeah, you're ganked the next day by the cartel.
Yeah, you're in or you're out. On off. It's binary, baby.
My god. So these Captagon pills, they actually look really official. They look like something that Pfizer would put out. They kind of look like Advil. Like, they're just
chances
round.
Are.
They have that little, like, Phillips screw kind of slot going. And on the other side, they have... I think that looks like a refresh symbol.
Yeah, it does. I'm also noticing that the guy's hand that it's on, the gloved hand.
Yeah, yeah.
When did he pull these pills out of some guy's ass?
Oh, yeah. You see that brown there?
It's like all black and brown.
That's a lot of pills to pull out of one ass.
They're relatively clean, too. Must have washed them off.
So,
Staged photo.
Now, I'm not sure if this is Colonel or if this is his first name, but Kol Ghassan Chamsadeen.
That's Colonel. He's part of a drug enforcement unit.
Yeah, but I don't see a period after that, so it's not shortened. Anyways.
That's the guarded way you expect.
Okay. Well, yeah. I've noticed that a lot of newspapers and a lot of, like, publishers are really dropping the ball when it comes to punctuation and, like, spelling, and that drives me fucking batty.
Yeah, like, see, what they do is they go into spell check and they do that thing where you can right-click and say add to dictionary. They do that, and then all the screwed-up words are right, according to their computer.
Oh, my God, fuckers.
That's got to be what's happening. It's been happening like that for the last 10 years.
I bet you it's just one fucking intern. One, like, low-level publisher intern just going, if I just hit add to dictionary, then everything goes 100%. That's good.
All the red lines go away and the boss doesn't fire me.
Ah, excellent. He's an intern. It's not like he's getting paid. Anyhow.
<True that.
laughs> Colonel Ghassan Chamsuddin, head of the Drug Enforcement Unit in Lebanon, were more than 12 million,
I think.
Wow. 12 million Captagon tablets were seized last year. Said that most of the illicit pills are hidden in trucks passing... Oh, see, that's why his glove's dirty. He's been rubbing it on the truck. Passing from Syria to Lebanese ports, from there where they are shipped to the Gulf. He suspected proceeds from the drug trade were being used, at least partly, to fund anti-Assad rebels inside Syria, he told Time.
I like how "at least partly" is in quotation marks.
Captagon, the trademark name of the synthetic stimulant phenethylamine.
Phenethylamine.
Oh,
phenethylamine.
Hey. Nice. Was first produced in the 1960s to treat hyperactivity, narcolepsy, and depression. So what
it
you're telling
like fun
me?
Stuff.
What you're telling me is you've got a bunch of Syrian rebels who are happy as fuck, not sleeping,
running around with machine guns.
Running around, yeah, hyperactively running around with machine guns.
Like, I wonder what the rate of fratricide is, if it's gone up or...
I'm betting that they're tracking like 12 targets at once. They're just fucking firing everywhere. They know exactly where all their targets are at all times. They don't even care. They're just running around like it's Call of Duty, jumping everywhere, fucking take their knives out and start stabbing people. Because they don't even need their bullets anymore. That's how hyper they are. I'm fully endorsing this idea. But was banned in most countries by the 1980s. So, you know when your drug is banned in the 80s, that it's got to be bad.
Yeah, it says that because it was too addictive.
Too addictive. My
too
God.
Too addictive. Dun, dun, dun.
It remains hugely popular in the Middle East. Saudi Arabia alone seizes some 55 million tablets a year. Perhaps 10% of the total thought to be smuggled into the kingdom.
That's a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. The drug is cheap and simple to produce, using ingredients that are easy and often legal to obtain. And those ingredients are... yet sells for up to $20 a tablet. Holy shit, you can make bank off this.
So figure 12 million tablets they seize times 20 bucks, that's like... I can't figure out that number in my head, but it's big.
Well,
it's a few billion.
Sorry, 20 million, did you say?
12.
So
this is 12 going into
that's
Lebanon.
That's at least 240 million, probably more. But yeah,
it's a lot of money.
Wow. A Lebanese psychiatrist, Ramzi Haddad, said that Captagon had the typical effects of a stimulant, producing a kind of euphoria. You're talkative. You don't sleep. You don't eat. You're energetic. So it's E. Yeah, it's essentially ecstasy. They're hopping their soldiers up on ecstasy and getting them to fuck each other. With guns, not with dicks, I'm sure.
although...
Well,
we don't have proper media coverage over there, so...
There could be mass rapes in the streets. Well, then. There's...
But whatever, as long as the enemy's dying and you're staying alive, that's good to go. Who are we to judge?
Who
in North America,
are we to
judge? Are we to judge? Sorry,
absolutely.
I'm up in North America right now.
Oh,
I'm in Central America. My bad.
I guess you still have the mentality that you live here.
Of course.
Just wait. You'll be banging away with your jackhammer at 12 at night as well.
I swear, I'm going to go next door and kill those guys after this broadcast.
Oh, wow. Shit.
I can still hear it.
That's okay. You're in Costa Rica. Nobody's going to catch you.
Nope. It's nighttime anyway, so you know, I know when the cops drive by here.
Fuck, you just
pretty regular.
Throw them in the jungle, wait for the predator to get them.
I'm just paying 200 Tarvin or Harvin or whatever it is. There you go, it's $25 American, it's good to go. Just drive away, officer.
Those effects explain why fighters from most of the warring parties in the conflict, with the exception of Al-Qaeda-linked groups, which mostly hold to a strict interpretation of Islamic law, i.e. they don't do drugs, they don't fuck women, blah 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 blah, are now said to be making extensive use of Captagon, often on night missions or during particularly grueling battles. But doctors and psychiatrists say use of the drug is also becoming widespread among Syria's increasingly desperate civilian population. So, you know, this is kind of interesting because we do that too. Like in, I know the Canadian military does it, and I'm sure the U.S. does it too. It's not Captagon, but there are stimulants that can be prescribed, and you can be ordered to take them. Like, they can actually say, you know, oh, well, we're going to be awake for 3 weeks here, so you're going to take this drug, and you're going to love it.
I'm assuming they're not caffeine-based stimulants or anything like that?
No, like, this is actual, like, medicinally prescribed stuff. Like, they have medical officers that will kind of go, okay, we need these guys to be awake, so what's the best drug to do that? Oh, it's this. Here you go. You are now ordered to take this at these regular intervals.
Oh, fun stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, well, they can do anything to you. You're not a human being anymore.
Yeah, yeah, your property.
You're in service.
Right.
All right. So let's go on to the next one.
Sorry. I gotta close that window.
No problem.
Right. Okay. Next one is from I don't know who.
This was...
It's from you.
Yeah, that was from me again.
Okay. Wow, no surprise there. I didn't check my list. I go back to that there. Okay. So, man, I'm off today. In core political news, the court struck down net neutrality, but the open web's not dead yet. This was sent in, obviously, by Sean. Did net neutrality just die? While we were all sitting around having our second cup of coffee on a regular old Tuesday morning, did a federal court just erode the entire internet ecosystem, stifle innovation, and doom free expression by siding with a greedy corporation? Yeah, they probably did. Alarmingly, the answer might end up being yes, but not just yet. Again, operative word is yet. As usual. This is coming from Vice.com, this article. Today, the U.S. Court of Appeals of D.C. struck down key parts of the federal communications, or the FCC, rules safeguarding a neutral open web in its decision in the landmark case of Verizon, bastards, versus the FCC. The court determined that the commission is overstepping its bounds by forcing ISPs, internet service providers, to treat all internet traffic equally, and invalidated the agency's anti-discrimination and anti-blocking rules, which is a load of crap. They should leave that stuff in place, because the internet is awesome.
It really is. And I would like to see it stay the way it is. Like, I don't want to see people lose Rant Media. I don't want to see people lose, you know, other outspoken media outlets like Reddit or like FARC.
Or even just having the ability to just speak your mind.
Absolutely. We should all be able to do whatever we want on the internet, barring, of course, you know, heinous crimes.
Stupid, yeah, and crime.
Like child porn or fucking, you know, drug trafficking, etc., etc.
Indeed.
My goodness. All right.
I'm going to carry on here. This is not good. Without net neutrality protections, telecom giants have the power to dole out access to the internet willy-nilly. Not kidding. That's actually what it says here.
To dole out
access to the internet willy-nilly, discriminate against the competition, give preferential treatment to companies that can pay to play, and censor the web by throttling traffic based on their political interests. That's something that really bugs me because, you know, personally, I like the Pirate Party. So if they're like, hey, Malthos Kincaid here likes the Pirate Party, we're going to just, you know, kill his bandwidth.
Yep, absolutely.
You call them up, call up. Hey, Mr. ISP, what's up with my bandwidth here? And I'm like, oh, well, it's just the amount of people in your area because you're on a crappy connection, blah, 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 right? You're just going to give it a run around.
Oh, of course. Of course. They're never going to tell you the real reason.
Oh, no, never. Where was I here? The knee-jerk reaction is to freak out. Well, yeah. But
we've been freaking out for 9 fucking years now.
knee-jerk reaction is required. I'm just going to start freaking having spasms all over the place.
Get yourself some Captagon. Proactively spasm all over the place.
That'll help me. That'll help me in the war against core political tyranny.
That's what we've got to do. We got to get this to the walks.
That's right. We should. I mean, somebody else should mass produce that and let it fall off the truck somewhere and blah, 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 blah. I'm not involved with that.
Somehow it ends up in an ammo crate in my backyard.
Disclaimer. Please do not kill me. Or kidnap me and kill me. But the dystopian portrait of the future isn't reality yet. Again, operative word, yet. Though Verizon stated its case Though Verizon stated its case on lofty ass-backwards claims, yes, it actually says that, ass-backwards claims.
You can tell this is an opinion piece when.
Yeah, but hey, it's a good one, though. Claims that the rules violate its First Amendment constitutional rights. The court's decision is still mostly based on a technicality. I guess back in 1996, the agency classified broadband providers as information services under the Telecommunications Act. Instead of communication carriers, instead of communication carriers. So they are information services and not information carriers. The commission has the authority to regulate carriers like telephones, but doesn't have jurisdiction over ISPs. Now the FCC is tripped up by its own .com era policy.
My goodness.
The court's ruling hangs on that distinction. The court's ruling hangs on that distinction, arguably leaving the door open for the government to rewrite the law to extend its regulatory reach to ISPs. And it goes through the whole bunch of legalese. I'm not going to read that because that's... You know, you can read it. It's going to be up on the gianttoads.blogspot.ca.
Yep, CA.
That's CA. Yeah, you guys can check it out later. The Open Internet Order is the FCC framework developed in 2010 to enforce net neutrality by forbidding ISPs from blocking or slowing content unreasonably, which is a good order, I would say. Good for you, FCC. Amazingly, it was originally brought forth by, get this, Google.
Oh,
and
wow.
Wait for it. That actually says this too. Verizon, the people who are fighting it, actually brought it into play. Idiots. Since then, it's been like a sort of bodyguard for the web, a protection that hopefully you'll never need to use, but you definitely still want it there. Same thing like the bungee cord. Well, I guess you actually do need it there. But you know what I mean. You know, you go punch jumping without the let's say wingsuit. You go punch, or jump out of a plane with a wingsuit. Hey, awesome! You can kind of sort of fly, glide, but you know the parachute's there to save your ass because you can't land properly.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Except for that one guy at the lake.
Oh yeah, that's right. I remember watching that video.
And where was I? Man, freaking sidetracks there.
The sidetracks are what make the show, really.
Of course. You gotta have the sidetracks.
Yeah.
So what's the agency's reaction to all of this? FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler has said in the past that he supports the open web. Good for ya.
Yeah.
But he's also suggested he's amenable to letting telecoms experiment with pay-to-play business models and then intervening if things go south. Yeah, I can kind of understand that a little bit. I'm still not 100% on that. But I like the whole intervening if things really go sideways there.
Yeah.
Wheeler said after today's ruling, because I mean it's a business, right? So, Wheeler said after today's ruling that he'll consider appealing the decision, which would land a critical case in front of the Supreme Court. And he gives a statement: "I am committed to maintaining our networks as engines for economic growth, testbeds for innovative services and products, and channels for all forms of speech protected by the First Amendment. We will consider all available options, including those for appeal, to ensure that these networks on which the internet depends continue." To provide a free and open platform for innovation and expression and operate in the interest of all Americans, which I would say to everybody, not just Americans.
Well, what does America think the majority of the world is? America.
Yeah. Yeah. The police actions and all that stuff everywhere else, right? Oh, we need to bring democracy here and democracy there. I don't think nobody really wants democracy that badly. It's not really your right to go and do that. Hey, personal opinion. Everybody's going to be coming back on me with hate mail, probably. Particularly the American listeners, but whatever, stop it.
And if you want to send that that hate mail to us, send it to newsreel2@gmail.com. Because we couldn't get newsreel@gmail.com because that was already taken.
Yes, indeed.
I think I'm making it like making it a little more concrete. Maybe make it gianttoads@gmail.com.
Yeah, that could work.
I'm sure that's taken already, but yeah. I'll see what we can do.
Indeed. I'm going to finish up this
Go for it.
Paragraph still here. All eyes will be on the new chairman to see what he does now. Appeal, attempt to reclassify ISPs as common carriers, amending the 96 Act to essentially redefine the internet to be treated like a telephone, maybe a long shot, Yeah, probably, because the internet's not the same as a telephone.
Not anymore. You can still dial up, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's... No. Maybe in 96 you could do that, but not now. It's
What were they thinking back then? Like, in 96, nobody even understood what... Well, 90% of what the internet was.
Well, look at 96. What the hell was it? Johnny Mnemonic?
Johnny Mnemonic was so good.
Some Recomedia for you?
Yeah.
Johnny Mnemonic?
If you have not watched Johnny Mnemonic, you do not belong here. You need to go watch Johnny Mnemonic and then come back.
Granted, it's not the same as the, was it Gibson?
Oh, yeah, Neuromancer?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I can't remember. I think Johnny Mnemonic was based off of a short story by the same name.
Yeah, it was. So it's not the same as a short story. Yeah, people are going to be like, oh, well, it sucked because of this, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, fine, who cares? I mean, it's just think of it as a completely different story, because I never read Gibson before.
Keanu Reeves, so, fucking you know. Ice-T. And that
what's her face from what's her face from Starship Troopers there? That chick.
Oh yeah, that girl. I can't.
And then Spider, whoever the hell Spider was, that guy was pretty cool.
Yeah, I always think he looks like Matthew Lillard, but he really doesn't.
All right, that's another sidetrack for you. Anyways, it would mean another round in the courts, and could bring about more questions than it answers. But pro-open internet lawmakers could try to push new rules through Congress. Not that leaving the fate of the digital future in the hands of Congress is very comforting. Definitely not. But even considering net neutrality was one of President Obama's... original campaign promises. Well,
how many promises has he delivered on so far?
Yeah, like we all know how many of those campaign promises that he follows on. Then again... So the Bush
change.
Yeah, change my ass.
Mm-hmm. Change for the worse.
Yeah. In the short term, it's likely that Wheeler will decide to watch and see what happens now. Stupid-ass cars driving by. In the short term, it's likely that Wheeler will decide to watch and see what happens now that the government's regulatory grip is loosened. He's going to allow some experimentation and service differentiation, and he's going to look at it with a very hard eye.
Ehrlich or something like that.
Everett Ehrlich, former Undersecretary of Commerce under President Clinton, told this guy who's writing the story, I guess. Not me. if things move in a direction, oh man, if I got famous people talking to me, maybe I'll be set. If things move in a direction that threatens the market or the open internet, then the FCC chairman has some political options from there and ammo to work with. So I think the next move is on Wheeler, Ehrlich said. He'll allow some experimentation, but it had better shine like a hound's teeth, whatever the hell that means.
That's an interesting turn of phrase. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. But
better
anyways.
Shine like a hound's teeth. Huh.
So yeah. I guess it pretty much what he's saying is he'll allow some experimentation, but it had damn well better look good.
Yeah, absolutely. So
to translate it roughly for everybody else there.
Net neutrality, good. Right?
Extreme. Good. Yeah.
I thought so.
You need it. It's been here all the time, so I think you need to keep it.
Yeah, we need to keep the net the way it is right now, with people yelling at each other on 4chan and Anonymous blowing up buildings or doing whatever they're doing as evil anarchists as they are, and the WOGs communicating via our IRC, fucking Second Life, and the forums.
Oh, and also don't forget about the fact that this show essentially depends on it, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Right, so.
And, of course, without that communication, we would have never been able to do this ourselves. Like, it took months of planning just to get to this one episode. Well, keep in mind, too, that we were planning through December, so there's that whole break for...
And we also had our other projects going on the run, too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I've got that Tales for the After now that I've got to work on. I'm running a Pathfinder campaign as well. And, of course, I have a full-time job, so that's quite the load for anybody.
Yeah, I mean, I'm unemployed because I don't have my residency yet.
Oh, shit.
But at the same time, I'm still running on working on my... I'm losing my train of thought here about my own friggin' projects. Staging here with Maltos Kincaid, my own internet TV show.
Oh, shit. So, I didn't even know about this. You didn't tell me.
You didn't know about that, man. I put it up on friggin' Facebook and everything.
Maybe I didn't.
Sorry, my bad.
Well,
I don't advertise it to my normal friends on Facebook.
You know how Facebook is, though, like with its newsfeed? It's completely biased. Like, one day I'll get like 300 notifications from a certain hyperactive friend of mine and then other days I'll get, like, you know, an actual mix of people. It's all, it's, their algorithm fucking sucks, just like, yeah, all their software.
It's weird. I should have just PM'd it to the few people I knew.
Yeah. Well, no, it's good to know about now. I'm going to check that out for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's, I'll throw the plug in at the end of the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, plug it.
Recomedia.
Shameless self-promotion.
Yeah. So.
Awesome.
Okay. On to the next. Next story then, Joe.
Absolutely. In Maybe We Aren't So Fucked After All News. This was submitted by Hemi770, and he sent this to me through the IRC. So, this one's pretty good. School ditches rules and loses bullies. So, this is something else. Like, we've been dealing with this whole bully epidemic. Like, all of a sudden it became a major deal, even though when I was in middle school and high school and everything, I was getting picked on because I wore too much black and I wasn't very tall.
You're still not very tall.
I'm still not very tall. Thank you for reminding me.
You still
wear
it too, but damn black.
Hey, you damn kid! Still wearing your black and being short. Well, yeah, so that happened. I listened to too much Joy Division and I get depressed. But. But. I actually don't get depressed. I'm one of the happiest people I know. But. All this aside, like, we've been dealing with this whole, everybody's a bully. You know, there's so many bullies, internet bullying, everything is bully, 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 bully. And it's kind of, it's actually really annoying that they keep calling this out. Instead of teaching our kids to curl up in little balls and tell on each other, why don't we teach them to...
Grow up hair.
Yeah, grow up hair, stand the fuck up for yourself, and...
Beat the shit out of that bully.
Yeah, fight back. Oh, I wonder why they don't want to teach people to fight back. Could it be that there's some
Ukraine
sort of,
much?
Yeah.
Syria much?
North America every single day? Don't fight. Don't stand up for yourself. When you're getting raped and beaten, you just take it and then tell someone about it later. Well, usually there isn't a later. So that's why this story is important to me and should be important to all of you. So the story reads... Ripping up the playground rulebook is having incredible effects on children at an Auckland school. Now, I don't know where Auckland is, do you?
New Zealand. It's from New Zealand.
Okay, so it's from New Zealand. Okay, yeah, there it is right in the URL. NZ. So, ripping up the playground rulebook is having incredible effects on children at an Auckland school. Chaos may reign at Swanson Primary School, with children climbing trees, riding skateboards, and playing bull rush during playtime, but surprisingly, the students don't cause bedlam, the principal says. Interesting
it's
choice
just,
of
it's
words.
It's just chaos. It's just
yeah,
chaos.
This is chaos, okay? It's a couple steps below bedlam, okay? Just letting you know that.
Remember, kids, anarchy is the next alphabetical choice above bedlam. Chaos, bedlam, anarchy.
Oh my god, the ABCs. Perfect.
That's right, it's reversed.
Easy as 1, 2, 3. The school is actually seeing a drop in bullying, serious injuries, and vandalism, while concentration levels in class are increasing. So
like
everything's
part right there.
Everything's going up. Everything's going good.
People are getting smarter.
What are they doing? What is New Zealand doing that we are not? So, Principal Bruce McLaughlin rid the school of playtime rules as part of a successful university experiment. We want kids, this is him talking, we want kids to be safe and to look after them, but we end up wrapping them in cotton wool when in fact they should be able to fall over. Interesting. So they're, instead of rounding all the corners like we do, he's letting them, you know, actually live and be kids.
This guy sounds like my grandfather.
Oh, yeah, he sounds like my grandfather, too.
Yeah, I think it probably sounds like everybody's grandfather on this side of the world.
Everybody from the 40s and under.
Yeah, the people who actually still know what the fuck's going on and how it actually works.
Yeah, and how life was before the God Box.
Yeah.
Letting children test themselves on a scooter during playtime could make them more aware of the dangers when getting behind the wheel of a car in high school, he said. When you
should
look,
have that in Ontario, definitely, because, I mean, the amount of drivers there, they're friggin' retarded.
They're awful. And in Kingston, it's worse. Like, I've driven...
You think that's worse? Go to Lindsay.
I've never been to Lindsay. No.
Don't go... Anywhere past Peterborough on the western side...
Yeah, yeah.
...until Toronto is horrible. It's all Toronto drivers.
Oh, no shit. Well, that's the funny thing. In Toronto, I find drivers are better than here.
Really?
Yeah, I find that they actually follow the rules a bit better.
I guess they have more hazards there to look out for, though, too, right?
They really do.
Then you come to like somewhere like Kingston, and it's like, oh my god, there's like not much here.
Yeah, exactly. And people just don't fucking understand what right-of-way is, and some people are actually too nice on the road. It's absurd. Anyhow, getting off topic. When you look at our playground, it looks chaotic from an adult's perspective. It looks like kids might get hurt, but they don't. Swanson School signed up to this study by AUT, Australian University of Technology, and Otago University just over 2 years ago with the aim of encouraging active play, which is good. I like that. Active play. Adults should engage in active play too, but that's like the Dr. Steele dogma that's leaking out. By the way, if you've never listened to Dr. Steele, listen to Dr. Steele. He's awesome. It's all around good times. I would recommend Fibonacci Sequence as the first song you listen to. Anyhow, however, the school took the experiment a step further by abandoning the rules completely, much to the horror of some teachers at the time, he said. Well, no shit.
That's, I wonder how many teachers quit that day.
Oh my god, like, yeah. I wonder how many took themselves to bunkers and shot themselves.
Like, I sense a lawsuit coming on. I'm going to quit.
Goodbye. I will take my leaving package now.
Yes.
When the university study wrapped up at the end of last year, the school and researchers were amazed by the results. Mudslides, skateboarding, bull rush. Skateboarding! Bull rush.
Oh no! My anarchy! God. Anarchy!
This is what all those stickers that say skateboarding isn't a crime is about. My god. Bull rush and tree climbing kept the children so occupied the school no longer needed a timeout area or as many teachers on patrol. Instead of
Funny thing is, I remember when I was a kid, like, I mean, I grew up in the 90s, public school and stuff. I mean, we actually had that stuff. You want to climb? Oh, yeah, there'd be some teachers that are like, what the hell are you doing up in the tree? Get your ass down. But I mean, the school yards that I was on, they were huge, right? So, I mean, you can go somewhere and fuck off and nobody would know where the hell you were for like half the day.
Yeah, same here.
I mean, we were climbing trees and, you know, pushing people over and stuff like that and whatever.
Getting
like,
into fights, being boys, playing marbles.
I think the big problem is when, you know, this new millennium started up there in 2000, that they coddle everybody. They just, absolutely. Oh, you're just a baby, you know? You shouldn't play like that.
Kids are not that fragile. And, like...
Well, they're tougher than adults are.
Yeah, a lot of them are.
Look at babies, you know? A baby falls down and crap, but you think, holy crap, you know, his head's going to get smashed off.
He cries a little bit, and then he picks
himself back up and he laughs. He's like, what the hell? You know? See, a grown person do that, they're like, you know, in a coma or something.
Oh, my God. Anyhow, I've lost my place, but gonna try that again. However, the school took the experiment a step further by abandoning the rules completely, much to the horror of some teachers at the time, he said. When the university study wrapped up at the end of the last year, the school and researchers were amazed by the results. Mudslide, skateboarding, bull rush, and tree climbing kept the children so occupied the school no longer needed a timeout area or as many teachers on patrol. Instead of a playground, children used their imagination to play in a loose parts pit, which contained junk such as wood, tires, and an old fire hose. Interesting.
That's awesome. That's
awesome. You can totally tell some of these kids were fucking playing Mad Max while they were in there. It's New Zealand too, right? So they've all seen that movie.
Oh man.
Can you imagine that little kid going up?
I'm Lord Humongous!
Yeah.
Off the playground.
Just walk away. Leave this all behind and walk away.
Oh, man, God.
That was in South Park. Fucking Butters played Lord Humongous. Like, there was this Girls Have Cooties episode, and all the girls walled themselves off in a fort, and they were protecting it. It looks just like the thing out of Mad Max. And Cartman he looks like the guy who has, like, the weasel hat. You know, gets his hand cut by the boomerang. And he's... I was like, here, Butters, why don't you should talk to them. He's like, oh, me? Oh, okay. He puts his mask down, and he starts talking exactly like Lord Humongous. And, like, at the end, Carmen's like, whoa, he's pretty good at this. All right. The kids were motivated, busy, and engaged. In my experience, the time children get into trouble is when they are not busy, motivated, and engaged. No shit.
Really?
idle hands are the devil's plaything is a phrase for a reason. It's during that time they bully other kids, graffiti, or wreck things around the school. Oh, shit. It's so obvious, and yet we never thought to do this. Huh.
Welcome to society as we know it today.
Yeah, no kidding. Parents were happy too because their children were happy, he said. But this wasn't a playtime revolution, it was just a return to the days before health and safety policies came to rule. Ah, so that's interesting right there.
Yep. Well, because you think something happens on the playground. Oh, my child fell down and broke his leg.
I'm going to sue you!
I'm going to sue you for not just the school. I'm going to sue the school board. I'm going to sue the local government, everything.
I'm going to get every fucking penny I can.
Yeah, it's like, holy crap, the kid broke his leg. Frick, we'll pay for it. Actually, no, we shouldn't pay for it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
So, AUT professor of public health Grant Schofield, who worked on the research project, said there are too many rules in modern playgrounds. The great paradox of cotton-wooling children is it's more dangerous in the long run. Society's obsession with protecting children ignores the benefit of risk-taking, he said. Now, that's a really good point, too, because I read an article a while back. I forgot to mention this. But it was a guy who was, I think he was an anthropologist of some sort, and he was studying some of these lesser-known African tribes. And he was appalled at the way that they treat their children. Like, the mother, when treating her baby, like, this is a newborn, too, this is, like, just a few months old, will just, like, pick it up by the leg, set it down somewhere. Like, if it's annoying her, it'll just pick it up without even thinking and just drop the kid somewhere else. The kid lands on his head. He just picks himself back up again. The kid is fine. We're all taught to coddle them and hold them by the neck. And, like, you know, keep the head supported. They don't give a shit in these tribes. And the kids turn out fine. They're still alive. They're not crippled. They're not injured in any way. It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the human body is designed to take impact and whatnot. I mean, some different stages of your development, sometimes more than others, obviously. But, I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that kid just pushed through, like, how many inches of its mother to get out.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure is a pretty tight squeeze.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, you're fitting a football through a garden hose.
And you go in head first, so where's all that strain going? Right on the baby's neck.
Yep. And yet right? the baby still survives.
Yeah, so I mean, it's pretty tough.
Yep, absolutely.
Right? So
anyhow, so society's obsession with protecting children ignores the benefits of risk-taking, he said. Children develop the frontal lobe of their brain when taking risks, meaning they work out consequences. You can't teach them that. They have to learn risk on their own terms. It doesn't develop by watching TV. They have to get out. They have to get out there. The research project morphed into something bigger when plans to upgrade playgrounds were stopped due to overzealous safety regulations and costly play equipment. Quote, there were so many ridiculous health and safety regulations, and the kids thought the static structures of playgrounds were boring. So, end quote. When researchers, inspired by their own risk-taking childhoods, decided to give children the freedom to create their own play, principals shook their heads, but eventually four Dunedin student schools and four West Auckland schools agreed to take on the challenge, including Swanson Primary School. It was expected the children would be more active, but researchers were amazed by all the behavioral payoffs. The final result of the study will be collated this year. Schofield urged the other schools to embrace risk-taking. It's a no-brainer as far as implementation. It's a zero-cost game in most cases. All you're doing is abandoning rules, he said. And that's the end of that story.
Yes.
So that's something really good. I'm all for this. I think that we should... Yeah, we should do this, too.
I think we should do that, too. I think, it's just so much. Like, oh... You know, just I don't know what they call it, the poor baby syndrome. You know, people say, oh, poor baby, you know, you don't want to get hurt. Come over here and do this instead of this. It's like, well, what the hell? Kids are designed to play outside. Kids are designed to fall down.
Like, designed?
Let them do it. Well, yeah, you got to think. I mean, whatever, if there's like some magical deity or whatever out there.
Absolutely.
Whatever, whoever believes in.
Possibly aliens.
Possibly aliens. I mean, the thing is, either
probably
way.
Probably Xenu.
By purpose or evolution, natural evolution or whatever the hell it is, we were designed, so.
Absolutely.
Or built or something. Yeah. But what I'm saying, I'm not trying to go any specific way on that there. But, like, we're built. All right, our bodies can't take that type of impact or that those type of things. I mean, we can't.
Yeah.
Our bodies heal.
In fact, there was a thread that I had stepped in on at one point, and it was explaining how we are, in fact, one of the most horrifying species on this planet to outside observers. So, say, for example, another species that never encountered human beings was to look at us and analyze us, we're actually pretty terrifying, because we're very durable, we're very smart, and, like, in a combat situation, a human body can do a lot more than what some other animals can do. Granted, of course, there are bigger, scarier animals that can naturally take us out, but,
yeah,
like, a human...
lions and tigers and bears, oh my.
Absolutely. But a human being can take a shot to the arm from, like, a 5.56 round and still keep trucking. A human being can get a limb cut off and still keep trucking. We are actually really terrifying. That's what Attack on Titan is kind of bringing out. If you've ever seen that anime, definitely check it out. It's about, like, these people walled in, and they're walled in from these titans. They're just giant human beings that want to eat you.
For
no particular reason, they don't even digest you, they just eat you. Because that's what they do. Most of them are mindless, all of them are practically invincible. There's only one way to kill them, you have to cut them at the back of their neck. And that's kind of how humans are. I mean, obviously, you don't just have to cut us by the back of our necks, but you see what I'm getting at. We are pretty strong creatures.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can have, like you were saying, that you can have a limb hacked off, and you can keep going. I mean, your body is going to be pumping the adrenaline and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, your body's got countermeasures for different things.
Absolutely.
To a certain extent, I mean, you get your leg knocked off, you're probably not going to be trucking too fast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you could still be doing some kind of movement, you know, depending on the situation, I suppose.
Absolutely. So, what say we go into some cyberpunk kit?
Aye, that we shall. Okay, for Cyberpunk Kit, first up on our list, we've got three things this week.
Nice.
The first one is from me. Finally, I got something in on this show that's mine.
Nice.
I picked this up. Or I didn't pick this up. I found this on a website called SUAS News, which is a UAV news site. I'm into UAVs.
Right.
Heavily.
As all the logs should be, because UAVs are fucking cool.
Indeed. So I was looking into this, and I guess FLIR Systems Incorporated, which FLIR is the forward-looking infrared that they use on the helicopters for search and rescue and blah, 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 whatever.
Right.
They finally came out with, the title of this is FLIR Unveils the First Personal Thermal Imaging Device for Consumers.
You gotta be fucking kidding me.
I'm not kidding you.
This is awesome.
This one particularly, it's targeted at the iPhone 5 or whatever, for now.
They usually are.
It's like a backpack unit, like one of those backpack battery charge unit things.
Okay,
is.
So you like slip it on the back of your phone.
Yeah.
It just clips on there somehow, right?
Yeah, and it's got the connection and stuff, blah, blah, blah. And it's got it's about the same size as the freaking phone. And it's got the infrared, so you got pictures on here of, you know, a guy squatting. I don't know why the hell the guy's squatting.
he looks like he's trying to hide a little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of like crouching, getting a little bit behind trees, maybe. Not doing very good.
No, I mean, the tree's 20 feet away, obviously. But you can see, I mean, he's got the white and orange and whatnot coloration in the background.
This is...
is purple. Right. So it's standard stuff you'd see on TV or whatever.
Yep.
And this thing is... it was unveiled at CES 2014, so earlier this month.
All right.
And it is... Well, guess the price on this.
I don't know. Jeez, easily 500, 600 maybe?
$350.
Ah, that is beautiful.
Yeah, it's compatible with the iPhone 5 and 5S. Now, on top of that, another article that I found just after I found that one is the same company has actually developed the cameras for in different phones. that uses the same technology but without the case that the this product has.
So we can skip the case altogether.
Yeah, so eventually we're possibly going to be looking at phones with built-in infrared cameras. Yeah.
So what you're saying is I can, since okay, bear with me. The Oculus Rift.
Mm-hmm.
We get that. You know what the Oculus Rift is, right?
Yeah, it's the goggle setup there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like the most responsive VR headset out there.
Yep.
I want to get this. I want to incorporate it into like Project Gargoyle and actually have like recording software on the outside. And on the inside, so I'm looking through the goggles and I'm looking out at the actual world and I'm overlaying that image with augmented reality. That'd be fucking sweet.
Now, that would be sweet.
What is also sweet is right now on this stage, this girl named Yima or whatever is currently dancing like a stripper. This is
what?
Fantastic.
Hey, yeah, I got my second life.
Someone just.
I see you.
Someone's crashing our party. I'm going to invite her to the group. That she may join us if she wants to. That's okay. Anyhow, so if we get this FLIR device, the infrared, we can attach this to the outside of the Oculus Rift, completely overlay our imaging with infrared, and we can be the fucking Predator.
That's right.
You're telling me I can be the Predator for $350?
Yeah, you wouldn't be invisible or anything, but you could be the Predator.
Pretty close. Marshall.
Pretty
so
close.
That's that. You sold. Done. I'm buying one. I don't have an iPhone. I'm just gonna rip it apart and figure out how it works.
No, just buy the camera.
Just buy the camera. You're right.
Just buy the camera, man.
Fuck.
I didn't put the other article in, but I mean, if you click out of the bottom of the article, it'll take you to it anyways. FLIR Leptin. FLIR Leptin is at the bottom.
That's awesome. That's perfect. We'll
post it on.
Yep.
Giant Toads thing.
GiantToads.blogspot.ca. Check it out. Follow along. You're going to love it.
Yeah. And the next piece of kit we have, I got this. Where did I get this from? Where did I steal this from? I stole this from Kevin is a Geek on the Rangers IRC. He doesn't know I did that, so he'll be hearing this.
Kevin's been in the game for a while, hasn't he? He's been here since like at least 2003.
Quite possibly. I don't know how long he's been there for.
Yeah.
But actually, no, where did I get this? I got him, it's from him, but it's from the Rant Radio forums. Someone was talking about a ruggedized computer for bug out purposes or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, what this is called? It's called. Huh?
I think I was in that thread.
I think you were too.
Yeah, okay. But, I was going to suggest the Gigabyte Bricks. Go on.
Okay. This device is called Earl. Yeah, just like the name, Earl. It is a ruggedized tablet. Okay, I'll read what it says here. It says, meet Earl, a revolutionary tablet engineered for the most extreme of outdoor conditions or situations. Built for survival, Earl works where today's smartphones and tablets cannot. Style meets efficiency with Earl's intuitive design, fusing Android 4.1, which will probably be updated later, I'm assuming, before 2. together with an energy-sipping e-ink screen, so the same type of screen they use in the Kobos and...
That's why it's black and white.
Yep, black and white.
So that's going to be slow refresh.
Yeah, but who cares?
Yeah, I guess so.
It's not that slow. I mean, compared to more modern screens, yes, but it's more efficient. So what is the motto?
Function over form.
That's right. So, and the latest in GPS, weather sensor, and radio communication technology. With Earl at your side, stay in control of your journey no matter where it takes you. So, essentially, it's, I don't know how big this thing is, 5-inch, 7-inch tablet or something like that. This is a Kickstarter thing, apparently. So, it's got the GPS, it's got Bluetooth, it's got the e-ink screen, which will probably, the battery on this thing will probably last a month. Android Beam technology, whatever the hell that is. It's got Android.
Beam is when you touch two things together, transfer information.
So it's like that old bump program or whatever.
Yeah, the bump.
Okay. All right. It's got weather sensors in it. So barometer and all that crap, apparently. Blah, 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 blah. What else does it have here? Oh, it's got FRS, GMRS, and MERS or MURS transceiver built in. So it's a two-way radio. Which has a range of 20 miles. It's got AM, FM, shortwave, and long wave radio tuner in it. NOAA weather radio. Oh, it's waterproof.
Well, yeah, I would hope so.
And yeah, I mean, it's, oh, it's got solar panel.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
Wait, so it's a 6-inch screen, I guess. This page is horrible for me to look at. It's got a glove friendly touch screen. You can keep gloves on. Water, dust, shockproof, mudproof to IP67 rating. Goes down to reliable down to, I guess, minus 50 degrees Celsius, I'm assuming that says.
Oh, wow. You don't want to be on a minus 50, but all right.
I've been there. It's not that bad. Move to Calgary. You'll see that for a few months or a few weeks in February every year.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. I used to walk at night. That was fun. I loved it. I loved the cold.
Yeah. I want to switch places with you.
And laminated solar panel provides up to 20 hours of battery. Charges in 5 hours with direct sunlight. So, I mean, this thing, it's still in Kickstarter right now.
Okay.
But the goal was $250,000.
I see they're at $624,000 something.
Yeah, they've got like 250% funding.
Perfect. This is just like Star Citizen.
Yeah, so I mean, this, when they're still working on it right now. I saw some updates a few days ago. But right now, with this still being a Kickstarter, the price starting on it is $300. So that's pretty, for what it does, it's pretty good. And it comes with topographic maps built in. And, oh, it's got a heart rate monitor too, apparently.
Oh, shit. No shit. Yeah, that's awesome.
Apparently, it can send emergency if your heart rate goes below a certain BPM, whatever, it'll fire off a FRS message or something stupid like that.
Ah, perfect. Perfect.
You can text
all your friends that you're dying.
Yeah. Essentially. I mean, you got Wi-Fi and all that stuff too. So it's got everything you need in a small, compact, bulletproof, essentially package.
Essentially,
for $300.
Let's not advertise it as bulletproof.
That's what I'm saying. Essentially, I'm saying essentially bulletproof. It's waterproof. It's waterproof. So.
Well, that's good because I know personally when I have ever dropped an expensive piece of equipment like that in water, it has pissed me the fuck off. And I was using a shitty fucking phone for the longest time because mine decided to take a swan dive into a toilet bowl. Yeah, it's these fucking cases, man. The ones that clip onto the side. You know what? Never buy OtterBox. I'm telling you all right now. You may think OtterBox is fucking amazing and wonderful and great. I have found them to be complete shit. Maybe it's just because of the models of phones that I get, but their cases do not suit my needs. They're not tough enough. So
what kind of case did you run?
I was running the OtterBox. I can't remember the fucking name of it. It was like the toughest one that they could give me at the time, the thing that was in the store. It was a Defender.
Yeah, the clips on the side break off when they clip onto the holster, because I got one on my phone right now.
Yep. Yeah, they break. They're not really all that good.
Nope, so, but at the same time, an elastic band on the top of your phone, on that case, perfect.
That would work.
I did for like a year and a half when I was in college. The freaking thing fucked up on me, so I'm like, oh, I'm getting an elastic.
There you go. Yep. Well, I decided, because learning from your mistakes is paramount, I decided to go with a ballistic case.
That's what I went for my playbook before it got stolen. Bastards.
Oh, damn, that sucks. But these things are fucking great. I mean, I've heard people chuck these things across, like, they chuck them across parking lots to prove that they work.
Yep.
And, you know what? I believe them. This thing is solid. It is...
They got more rubber on them.
They do. In the corners.
They got no screen protection, but that's what a screen protector's for.
Exactly. They come with a screen protector. That's what mine did.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, it's got a plastic shield that goes over top. And it kind of folds in and underneath the rubber to keep it in place. So it's good. It's responsive, too. Don't expect to be able to use your capacitive touch gloves with these.
No.
Yeah, because it's just plastic. Not going to read it. But do expect your wireless charger to work with them. Those things are cool. I'm gonna get one, see if it definitely works with this, and then I will doubly recommend the Nexus 5 to people, but anyhow. So, the last piece of Cyberpunk kit that we have for you is the Black Phone. This is one that I picked up. It's really cool. It's a cell phone that is geared towards privacy and encryption. Essentially, they have kind of, it's not even a company that's working on it. It's kind of just a collection of really bright people, like really smart, and they want to release this without the burden of a company being the main driving force. Like, they aren't looking for, well, like, they're looking for profit. I was going to say they weren't. They're looking for profit, but they aren't looking to just protect the company. They're not looking out for their own best interests. They're definitely looking towards creating a phone that's going to be completely secure. If they ever meet this goal, left to be to be seen. And I really do hope that these guys are sincere. But for some reason, I'm skeptic about it a little bit.
Yeah, I'm pretty skeptic about it there too. But I mean, at the same time, looking at that phone, that's a sexy looking phone. And, well, it's running Android, or a modified version of Android, which is supposedly more secure. So I mean,
yeah,
I'm cool with that. You know, it's smarter. It's still going to work with all the apps and all that stuff and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But the big thing, the key thing, is the encryption.
Yes. You've
got to have encrypted comms.
Like, and they've got like really smart cryptographers working on this.
Yeah.
Like, I can just run down these names. Probably most of them nobody's ever heard of, but there's Phil Zimmerman, Javier Aguirre, John Callis, Mike Yanke, Rodrigo Silva Ramos, Tony Bryant, David Piron, Mike Kershaw, Toby Wire Jones, all working on this thing. And these are really bright people coming from very respectable backgrounds. Like, this one guy here, Mike Yanke, or Jank, he's an ex-Navy SEAL.
Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, like, those guys are hardcore. They know how to keep secrets as well. At least the majority of them do.
Well, so, that's true.
Yeah. Anyhow, that's all the Cyberpunk kit that we have. Maltos, I believe you had some rec media for the people out there.
Yeah, I got one piece of rec media for everybody out there. I don't have an actual link for it, so if I find a link, it's going to be up on the Newsreel Blogspot thingy there. Mm-hmm. But this is... it's called the Induction Series. It's something I found when I was scanning through a torrent list somewhere. The Induction Series is put together by this guy or a few guys or whatever. It's kind of a conspiracy, on the conspiracy end of things. So people like maybe hit a miss with it. But it's a collection of PDFs.
If you enjoyed the tinfoil hat segment,
you will also enjoy the Induction Series DVDs. So he put together a few different things. It's got like documentaries on different things, training videos from different companies and whatnot, and documents regarding whatever that he's talking about. And he has them split into different discs. So the one I'm recommending is the Induction Series Utopia DVD.
Very cool.
Find it on the internet somewhere, wherever the heck it is. And this one specifically talks about public relations and how that was started, and how the government and media has taken it and turned it into essentially mind control, or a way to control the mass population.
Nice.
So it actually gives documentaries on the guy, what was it, Edward Bernays, that came up with it, public relations, and how to talk to people a certain way, and how that kind of, it's kind of mixed with psychology and stuff, so it's really good. I think I was looking for MK Ultra stuff.
This seems very similar. Like, it's totally psyops.
Yeah, and it actually has MK Ultra, like, documentaries and stuff.
Very like cool. That.
And so I'm like, whoa, yay, finally I found some information I can actually, you know, watch and stuff. Reading's nice, but sometimes you need to watch something just to kind of break it up a little bit.
Absolutely, give your eyes a bit of a rest, eh?
Yeah, so I mean, the Utopia DVD is, DVD size, so 4-point-some-odd gigs in size.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't able to find it this week through Pirate Bay or anything like that, but...
I'm sure there are many out there with very strong Google Foo.
Oh, yeah, there are. So, but I found some other ones the other day, so I'm downloading those now, too. So, yay.
Excellent. All right. Yeah. And that's all we have for you today. If you'd like to submit your own stories or just want to say hi, send us an email to newsreel, newsreel2 NovemberEchoWhiskey@gmail.com. And that's November Echo Whiskey Sierra Romeo Echo Alpha Lima 2 at Golf Mike Alpha India Lima period. Charlie Oscar Mike.
That's right. And, Zach.
Go on.
Okay. Now, I was just about to say, just in closing, before we get to the our outro song, that we could find, well, you can find you, Sean, or not Sean. Crap. Edit this out.
Ah,
edit
this out. Away.
Edit that section out.
No, man. It's all left in.
damn it. Well, I'd ask you the hell out of that. Anyways, you can find Gatekeeper somewhere. Shit, I don't know where I was going with that. I'm losing my mind. Your Tales from the Aftermath of the Storm.
Oh, yes. You can find all of those on the archive, the Internet Archive, which is, what is that, www.archive.org, I believe?
I believe so. Yep. Or internetarchive.org.
And just search up Tales from the Aftermath. You'll find it that way. Very easy. Or you can also find my thread in the Tales from the Aftermath forum in the Rant Media forums.
Indeed. Also, for my stuff, the show I host is Staging Area with Maltos Kincaid, and you can find that at maltoskincaid.wordpress.com. That's MALTOSEKINCAID .wordpress.com. And there's supposed to be a second episode out, and it's supposed to be out in December, but it's not, so I'm sorry. It'll be out in mid-February, hopefully.
We do a lot of apologizing on the show.
Yeah, and this is only episode zero.
My wow. God. All right, well, remember, we cannot hope to defeat the enemy if we are at each other's throats. If you like the music in the background, go ahead and check out some good old-fashioned psytrance, or go and check out 029 is the artist who will be doing the music this time. And we leave you with a song from Patient Zero. This song is called The Ones, off of his latest album, Cyber Psychosis. Good night.
Good night.